All right. All right, welcome to the Bear Fruit Show, where we're super excited with our guest today, Doug Lindbergh. We've swapped spots on our names, but that's okay. So
at least I still know who you were.
Yeah, I know, right? Anyways, we're so honored to have Doug here to tell his story. He has an amazing story of just life that you should write like five to ten books.
Hey, everybody keeps asking me to write a book. I'm just not there yet.
Yeah, it'll happen. It'll happen. So we're here in Durango, actually at the General Palmer, one of the historic hotels downtown. And we're actually doing this interview in honor of the Animas Valley Balloon Rally, which is this weekend. So if you're local here in Durango, make sure that you check out all that there is. You want to give a quick plug on telling us what exactly the schedule looks like and what are some of the things that people are going to want to make sure they don't miss.
Oh, you bet. All three mornings, we're going to have three mass ascensions about 8:30 in the morning. And we're going to be up at our normal launch site, which is on Highway 550.
Okay.
About a mile north of Trimble Crossing.
Nice.
So we're going to have three mass ascensions. We got 33 balloons. We have six special shape balloons that came down from Albuquerque.
Whoa. And they just had their big balloon fiesta.
They had the big one.
And how many balloons were there?
They had over 600 this year.
Wow.
For the 50th.
Wow.
Yeah, so, pretty cool.
Yeah. So, but to get something special here in the small town of Durango is pretty cool.
To get six special shapes is unheard of.
Yeah.
And we have the rubber duck who came from Wisconsin.
Hey.
He's awesome. Coming up there. And we've got, who else we got? We have Humpty Dumpty.
Okay.
We have two of the four hand-painted balloons left in the country. One is Big Top, who came down from Denver.
Yeah.
That's Mark Whiting. And then we have Western Spirit, who's coming up from Albuquerque. And then we have Pandemonium. I mean, we've got Giggles and Grins.
Yeah.
We have Debbie Young with Road Tripping Balloon.
Nice.
We have some really cool balloons coming.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So if you're not familiar with hot air ballooning, I wasn't either. I actually never been in my first balloon until I met Doug. And it is a special, special experience. And it's one of my favorite experiences. And for me and my wife, actually, like just being able to go up and float, and it's just, you're flying and you're seeing all these, and we do it, you know, around when the colors are changing here in Durango. So there's just,
it's beautiful. It's over the top beautiful.
It's special.
And even if you don't get the chance to fly, you've got to come out and see our balloon gloves
and just be around the environment.
Just be around.
Yeah.
At night when we have the balloons glowing, the rubber duck glows really well.
Yeah.
Humpty Dumpty glows really well.
Mm-hmm.
So Friday night, we normally have our balloon glow Friday night. We're going to have it again.
Yeah.
Right here on Main Street. Yeah, we're shutting down the Main Street in front of the General Palmer, going down around the train station.
Yeah.
And we'll have six balloons standing up. Two of them will be the hand-painted balloons, and you'll be able to get up close and personal and talk to the pilots and, you know, just visit with them and take pictures with the balloons.
Yeah.
Humpty Dumpty's going to set up downtown. And okay. Right next door here, we're going to have another balloon. And then we've got like I say, we got the rubber duck coming and Big Top and Western Spirit. So it's going to be a beautiful Friday night balloon glow. And then the Durango Business Improvement District asked me if they could do something really cool, Kyle. They wanted to have a second nighttime balloon glow downtown. They made all the arrangements with the city.
And so there's two.
There's two balloon glows this year, not just one. So Friday and Saturday night, both.
Wow. Wow. So if Friday night doesn't work, Saturday night, you want to be down here at around what, like dark time or?
Yeah, around dusk. You want to be here about, you know, 6:30, 7 o'clock.
Okay.
And at dusk, and if the winds calm down, when the winds calm down,
yeah.
we're going to anticipate the winds are calming down, buddy. When they calm down, we're going to stand the balloons up.
Okay.
Now, we're also going to have three balloons that aren't going to stand up. They're just going to have the baskets and the burners. So that people can come over and take a look at the burners, and they're called candlestick.
Okay, yeah, candlesticks where they just, we did that last year.
Yeah, you remember that?
Yeah.
It was pretty cool, wasn't it?
I got to bring my 3-year-old daughter, or she was 2 at the time, but she didn't pull the thing, but she just got to be, we got to be in the basket, and they pulled the stick, and she's just like, kids love it.
It's amazing.
It's amazing. Yeah.
So we're really looking forward to putting a whole lot of children into the baskets.
Yep.
The pilots that we have that come up, they volunteer to come up. They're giving up weekends where they could be making money to come up and be part of our community balloon event.
Yeah, this is, which is special.
And they just like to share it.
Yeah.
That's their thing. It was my late wife's passion because we had a saying, her and I, the success of a balloon rally is not measured in money. It's measured by how many smiling faces we can create.
Wow. Wow. That's a special, special quote. And I know this weekend is a lot, is basically dedicated to your wife.
We lost her in March suddenly and unexpectedly. And after 38 years, it's been really, really difficult. All of these pilots and crews that are coming up, they're coming up not just for the rally, but we're doing a celebration of life for my wife for all 3 days.
Yeah. Yeah, that's special.
So they'll be flying with ribbons that have her name on it.
Yeah.
There'll be different things. The Homeowners Association is dedicating the field to her, and they're going to call it Sylvia's Air Park.
Ah, that's really neat. Wow.
Yeah. It blew me away and brought tears to my eyes when they showed me the plaque they're going to put out there.
Oh, man. Yeah. Because I know how much joy is brought, the Dalton Ranch community and just all of Cottonwood community, all of that. So that's awesome. And you and your wife are like, you guys started this.
Oh yeah.
Tell me that.
Yeah, we did. We started this 7 years ago, and that was an interesting story. You talk about how we started it. It happened because, I was doing Snowdown Balloon Rally. My wife and I were doing Snowdown since 1999.
Okay.
And Snowdown was sponsored in part by the Durango Silverton Railroad. So we would always have our meet and greet. And since 2006, we would have our meet and greet at the Durango Silverton Railroad Museum over there. And Al Harper was walking through, the owner. Al Harper was walking through the meeting one day, and we asked him, how come you don't come out for Snowdown? Right. And Al looked at Sylvia and I, and he said, it's too cold. There's snow out there. Why would I want to go out and make myself miserable?
Yeah, yeah.
He said, and he made the mistake here. He said to Sylvia and I, he said, if you guys start winning the fall, he said, I will come out to that one.
Nice.
And so I went back to Al and I said, hey, look, you pay for us to start it in the fall.
Yeah.
I mean, you support it. You be the major sponsor. And by golly, I'll start a new balloon rally for
you. And that's exactly what happened.
That's how it happened.
Nice. And so since then, it's grown every single year. I mean, the first year, how many balloons did we have?
Probably first year, we had maybe 20, I think.
20, okay. Yeah. And then it's kind of fluctuated, and now we're up, what?
Well, 33 this year.
Which is a lot for
our little valley.
Our little valley, yeah. So,
but not only the balloons grew, but the sponsorship is kind of interesting because Al said, why don't you get the Jackson family involved?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I went over and talked to Amy Jackson and gave her the opportunity to be a co-sponsor with the Durango Silverton Railroad.
And she's the owner of the hotel.
The owner of the General Ballpark.
Yep.
And she said, well, yeah, let's do it.
Yeah.
So for the last 6 years, it's been the General Palmer and the Durango Silverton Railroad.
Yeah, special.
It's been special. And I'll tell you something else is really cool. In the beginning, our Snowdown Balloon Rally propane sponsor, Country Gas Company.
Yeah.
These guys are so funny. They said, if you're going to do another balloon rally, you have to give us the opportunity to be the propane sponsor.
Thank you.
So we gave them the opportunity, and Lynn Dunson runs a truck up here.
Yeah.
And he's here for all five events.
And he's filling everybody up.
Yeah, so Country Gas, they take care of the balloon pilots for all five events.
That's awesome.
It's a true community.
Yeah, no, it's a true community thing. And I think what I love about it is that there's so many like young families and people that just come out and they expect it. Not like in a bad way, but they're excited, like that excitement. And they're like, oh, the balloon rallies this weekend. Like, you know, I couldn't tell you how many young families and kids we saw last year at the Balloon Glow. And it's just a special thing to get all this community of Durango coming together around the balloon. So,
and that's what my late wife loved the most, I think, is just walking around during the balloon glows, and she would, you know, walk around, look at the children getting into the basket, watching the families get together.
Yeah.
Go into the restaurants and just check everything out. Go into Rocky Mountain Chocolate Factory.
Mm.
Do you remember the first year we did the balloon glow downtown?
Yeah. Yeah.
We had about 3,500 people showed up. And Rocky Mountain Chocolate Factory ran out of chocolate in 1 hour.
Yeah.
We wiped out the place with all the people that came downtown.
Yeah. It's a special thing. It's neat.
It's kind of fun.
It is a lot of fun. So tell me, we've been talking about the Anna's Bloom Glow rally and all that, which is awesome. But tell me kind of your story. And there's a lot of pieces to your story, but tell me how you got into flying balloons and what that looked like.
Well, it's kind of funny because I think I told you before, 1980, I went to work in a wholesale plumbing, heating, yep, and air conditioning supply house.
Yeah.
And I was fortunate enough to be hired by a man who loved to teach. And I was fortunate enough to be a person who loves to learn.
Yeah. So that says a lot right there, if you're willing to learn.
Yeah, he was really cool. And he was in Farmington. And I went to work for his company, started working in the plumbing business, and realized how much foresight this man had, mm-hmm, how much vision he had. He would take new products from different parts of the country, bring them into the supply house, and see how we could help people's lives be better.
Yeah.
And he found his one product. I think I told you it was called Engel Method Cross-Linked Polyethylene Pipe, PEX-A,
yep, yep,
for short. The good thing about PEX-A pipe, people don't realize this because you never think about what's behind the walls in your house.
No, most people don't.
No. Well, he found this PEX pipe, and it turns out that this stuff could replace successfully failing piping in copper and polybutylene all over the country.
Wow.
It was an incredible product, and we saw that we had the opportunity to help people, millions of people, make their lives better and easier. Because at this time, Shell Oil Company was putting out $300 million for failing polybutylene all over the country.
Wow.
So we had millions of people that were in dire straits when it came to their plumbing products.
Yeah.
And his vision was, he sent me to Sweden.
He sent you Sweden.
He sent me to go to Sweden. He said, I want you to go to the factory and I want you to learn.
Everything. So he wanted you to go to like the original space.
Yeah.
Place. Okay.
So I went to the original factory in Beerspo, Sweden. No. I think I pronounced that right. If I didn't, every Swede's going to be insulted.
Yeah,
anyway,
yeah.
So after that, then they sent me to the factory where we were making the product here in the United States in Apple Valley, Minnesota.
Okay.
Now, this is an interesting thing because in Apple Valley, Minnesota, back in 1989, they had four machines. That's it. Four extrusion machines making PEX pipe.
Okay.
We ended up buying here in New Mexico and Colorado. We ended up buying the entire output of two machines. 50% of their product came to New Mexico first.
Yeah.
Because we were the only state that I could write a code approval in. No one else would accept it, Kyle.
Okay.
So I wrote the state of New Mexico code approval to use it. And so we started replacing people's failing copper, failing polybutylene.
Yeah.
And then I came up to Colorado and I went to Denver and I got Colorado to accept it as a fantastic product. And then we started fixing people's issues in Colorado.
So you guys were like the forefront, like first to the.
We were so far ahead of the curve. Yeah. The rest of the country took years to catch up to us.
Wow. Wow. And so how did that lead to the balloon?
Well, that's the interesting part. The Beerspo Company. These guys were awesome. We did so well for them. We did so well for them because I ended up writing the codes in seven states.
Oh, my gosh.
And I trained over 3,000 people on how to install PEX pipe.
Okay.
I mean, I was writing codes and training people like crazy. So the Beerspo Company said, you did really good for us. And I said, well, I want a hot air balloon. I want you guys to come out and be in the hot air in the Albuquerque International Balloon Fiesta.
Yeah.
And they looked at me like I was a crazy person, obviously. And about that time, 1984, I had met my wife, and I had taken my first balloon flight, which had to do with tequila, by the way.
Like drinking tequila?
Or? Yeah, back in those days, I could drink. And I had a little bit too much tequila, and I agreed to go help this friend of mine put up a flying pink pig.
Okay.
And so we did. We went out and put up a flying pink pig, and I said, nope. Way too much work. I'm not doing this. And then after that, he convinced me to come out for a real small round balloon. And I said, okay, we can try this.
That. Was there tequila in that one?
Yeah, no tequila in that one. Okay. No, that one was straight up and down. So I go back to the Beerspo guys and I said, okay, I don't need you to buy a balloon yet. That's too much money. Let's get a banner. And at that time, I had written the code to use PEX pipe for radiant floor heating.
Okay.
So their big logo was a smiling foot with a smiling big toe.
Because it was warm.
Yeah. And we called it Warm Friendly Floors. And that was on our banner. So this was their logo. And I said, come on, guys, let's go do something with it. So they got into the Albuquerque International Balloon Fiesta.
Yeah.
The big one in Albuquerque. And back then we had like 400 or 500 balloons flying. And I put a banner on the side of my balloon. And I stood up in the middle of the field. The first time I stood up, and this is before your time, before you were born.
Yep. Yep.
But Good Morning America.
Yeah.
Joan London. Okay, Good Morning America, and Tom, oh man, what was his name? Tom Selleck.
Okay.
Tom Selleck, the actor, was there at the Balloon Fiesta, and he pointed out the Warm Friendly Floors balloon on Good Morning America.
Wow. So that was your
first
claim to fame, and you're like, I got this.
Yeah, I got this. And after that, the president and the chairman of the board who were out, you know, with us at the Balloon Fiesta Park, they're running through the hotel lobby going, we're on national TV.
Oh, my gosh.
They said, we're going to give you a contract and buy your balloon.
Wow.
They bought my first balloon. They bought my first balloon for me. Basket, burners, envelope.
So everything. It was an advertising thing that really got you.
Like, it got us started.
Wow.
So. And then I realized that this is kind of cool. So I would take their rearsprung balloon and go around to different doll stores, Hajoka stores, all part of the same company.
Yeah.
And it was kind of funny because I'd take the balloon somewhere, and while I was there, Kyle, I would write a code approval. While I was going to the balloon rally, I would go meet with the state officials. And
so it was a tax write-off. It was a business expense.
It worked.
It was great. Nice. That's awesome.
So that got me into ballooning.
Okay.
And that was back in 1994 when I first got my license.
How many different balloons have you owned?
I've only owned two.
Two, okay. Yeah. It's not like super common for people to, once you have, it's almost like you have it for a long time.
Yeah, once you've got a balloon, you take it for a long time because you fall in love with the system. Yeah. And you have so many memories in that system. We didn't actually retire the Weir's Boat balloon until, I'm going to say 2000.
Yeah.
2001, something like that. They had us go back to Apple Valley, Minnesota with the balloon and set it up. And they did a retirement ceremony, took the banner off the balloon and put it up in the Weir's Boat factory.
Wow.
Now, you remember I told you back in 1989, they only had four machines making Weir's Boat pipe, right?
Yep.
When we went back in 2001, they had 160 machines.
So they did well. They started.
Yeah. Well, we actually, that's what I say, they claim that we had such a positive impact on millions of people's lives in their drinking water, their radiant floor heating, their combination fire protection systems.
Yeah. I mean, well,
everything.
Yeah, everything.
We just did everything.
And to bring that up, you had mentioned that here in Durango, they had said that, you know, they put in the paper that you had saved how many lives?
The Contractor Magazine, the National Contractor Magazine, came out. And they did a story on us. See, here in Durango, we had a gentleman by the name of Tom Kaufman.
Uh-huh.
Tom Kaufman was a fire marshal.
Yeah.
When I got to my store out here, Tom and I started working together because he loved the concept of saving people's lives.
Yeah.
And he liked it even more when it was affordable.
Yeah.
So I showed Tom how it was going to be affordable. And Tom said, okay, let's do this. He said, I'm going to help you write the codes and everything, and we're going to start asking people to do plumbing-based fire suppression systems using this PEX pipe.
Yeah.
Which has a lifetime warranty. Okay. The pipe's never going to break.
No.
So we got a local gentleman by the name of Brad. God, I can't think of Brad's last name all of a sudden. but he has a plumbing company here. And awesome. Blake Mechanical. Brad Blake.
Brad Blake, yeah.
Yeah, you know Brad Blake. Yeah, yeah. So we had a local plumbing company, and Brad said, we're going to do this project called the Parkside Townhomes. Mm-hmm. And Tom said, okay, we're going to do the entire project with the plumbing-based fire suppression system, including the garages.
Yeah.
Now, this is unheard of back then. Nobody put fire protection in garages.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't required. This was a voluntary thing.
Mm.
So we did it because Tom believed the system would work.
Yeah.
As did I. We knew it would work.
Yep.
And then in 2006, lady had an overheated van that she drove into her garage, and the van started the garage on fire.
Jeez-o.
Oh, man, you should have seen it. It was crazy. They have pictures of it now. And the van started the garage on fire, and two of my sprinkler heads could not put the fire out. Don't get me wrong. I'm not going to lie. Could not put the fire out. But what the sprinkler heads did is they made the entire garage wet.
Okay.
The walls, the ceiling, the floors, everything. So the heat couldn't go
into other areas.
Yeah, so it couldn't go anywhere.
Wow. So essentially, how many townhomes? I mean, those townhomes still exist today. So how many townhomes?
According to the magazine, we saved 7 townhomes and 35 lives.
Wow.
And very possibly it could have been the entire project going up in flames.
Wow. Yeah. So it's funny how that works. This you being like believing in your product and knowing like what it can do and saying, hey, like we're going to flip this in. I know it's not the code or we don't have to, it's extra money or all that, but you ended up saving lives because of it.
Yeah. Yeah. So I have to say Brad Blake and Tom Kaufman in particular, Tom was just, Tom was off, and him and I are still friends. We've been friends for 22 years.
Wow.
And Tom and Cheryl live up in the North Valley. Yes. And he also helps with the balloon.
He does, yes.
Yeah, you know Tom. Yeah, he's been out there many times.
Yep. Yeah, Tom's great.
Yeah.
So, awesome. Okay. So, one of the things I was kind of curious about, besides the Animas Valley, what are some of your other places that you have love to fly your balloon?
Oh, my gosh. My wife and I, when I was first diagnosed with this very rare blood disorder that I have,
yes,
18 years ago, we decided to leave corporate America.
Yep.
We quit our jobs at Dahl Plumbing in Bogle Park.
What did that look like? When you just say, peace out, I'm done.
Yep, we did. We just said, look, I just got diagnosed with an incurable, very rare blood disorder.
Yeah.
And I may not have long to live, so.
We're going to live.
We're going to live. And my wife said, let's just do it. We'll take whatever we've got. We'll load the balloon up.
Yeah.
And we'll go to some of these places that people have been inviting us and we never could.
Yeah.
We went to Montreal, Canada.
Nice.
We flew in a little town called Saint-Jean sur Richelieu.
I don't know where that's
at. Right below Montreal.
That sounds
is French.
French, yeah.
Yeah, it's very French.
Yeah.
These guys in Montreal were so cool. We flew up there for 9 days, morning and night. And we did it for 2 or 3 years. I can't remember now. But her and I, we had a ball, and we love the people up there. The French Canadians are incredible.
Yeah.
And so we then after that, we went to go to Gatineau.
Okay.
Which is outside of Quebec.
Okay.
And interesting story about Gatineau. Got to tell you.
So
you go to Gatineau, and they require that you fly a couple of VIPs while you're there during the 5 days. But they don't tell you who the VIPs are.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, I don't care. We'll fly VIPs. Yeah, we don't care. You know how I am. Mm-hmm. So this one morning, this guy comes out with his 14-year-old son. I said, fine, jump in a basket.
Yeah.
So he jumps in a basket, and we take off, and we fly over the Gatineau River.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful to fly over the Gatineau River. And we're flying over Ottawa, the capital of Canada. And we're up in the balloon, and the man says, can I call my wife on my cell phone? Because we're flying over our house. And I said, sure, call your wife. I said, where's your house? And he points down there and he says, you see that turret on the top of that castle? That's my wife and her housecoat standing on the top turret.
Oh, my God.
And I'm looking down there and I said, okay, that's a little weird. What are you doing living in a castle in Gatineau or Ottawa? And he says, well, I guess I can tell you. I'm Sir David Harrington. I'm the representative to the Queen of England to Canada.
Wow.
And I'm sitting there going, basically. Oh, you got to be kidding. Talk about giving me a VIP, Kyle.
Yeah, yeah.
So after that, I'm really worried about flying. I've got this guy, and I'm like, I'm going to mess with the Queen's representative. I'm in trouble.
Yeah, that's funny.
Yeah. So, and here we are. We're flying over Ottawa, and I'm like 500 feet over the Prime Minister's residence. It's kind of like flying over Washington, D.C.
Yeah, no, that's a big deal.
I'm thinking, are we in trouble here?
Yeah, is this okay?
And Sir David looks at me and he says, nah, he said he's out of the country. We're good. I said, oh, that'll work. So then we land, And we had a beautiful flight. We ended up landing in a field of clover. It was absolutely gorgeous. And we're getting ready to do our ceremony.
Yeah.
Our traditional ceremony. Well, you know, we use champagne in our traditional ceremony.
Yep.
Well, the Canadians have terrible champagne. It's terrible. He admitted it. He said, he's our stuff is rock gut.
Don't use it.
Yeah. So, and he said, but the problem is we can't let you bring in American champagne because it's against our import laws.
Okay.
And I said, oh man, do you mean I'm in trouble for putting those 10 cases of Cook champagne in my trailer?
Oh my gosh.
And he said, you would be in trouble, but guess who can overrule that? I said, you. And he said, oh yeah, we're good.
So you guys had good champagne for the
We had good ceremony. Champagne for the ceremony. Then we all signed the bottle.
Yeah.
And I said, what are you going to do with the bottle? He said, I'm going to put it on the mantle in the Queen's residence.
Wow.
As far as I know.
It's still there.
Kyle, it's still sitting on the mantle in the Queen's residence in Ottawa, Canada.
That's awesome. That's a great story. I love that one. That's good.
So my wife and I had a lot of fun just going to the different places. And
yeah.
You know, the ballooning community, as you know, is really tight-knit.
It is, yeah.
And a really good friend of ours said, why don't you come down to Leon, Mexico? We're starting a balloon rally down there, 35 balloons. And I said, Leon, Mexico? And he said, yeah, it's in the highlands down there. It's kind of interesting. It's where tequila came from.
Like the original tequila.
The original tequila. The agave plants are grown in Guanajuato.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I asked my wife, I said, what do you want to do? And she said, look, it's December. It's cold up here. Let's go to Mexico. I said, okay, we're going to Mexico. So we get down to Mexico and, oh God, he was so funny. He said, Phil Bryant was his name. And he said, I got this really cool sponsor for you. He said, he owns a newspaper here in town. Well, here in town newspaper, the town of Leon is 2 million people.
Yeah.
Huge newspaper outlet.
Yeah, okay.
So the guy shows up, Kyle, and he's got a three-piece suit on, $2,000 leather shoes.
Mm-hmm.
And his wife shows up, high heels, a skirt.
She's going in a balloon.
And she's going to get in my balloon. And my wife is looking at her, shaking her head, going, oh, no, honey, you ain't getting in the balloon.
Oh, man, that's funny.
And she says, you're bound and determined to get in a balloon, right? And the lady said, yep, I'm going to get in the balloon. We said, okay. So my crew very carefully lifts her up and puts her in the balloon.
Mm.
Well, what I didn't tell her, she got high heels on, right? I got 1 inch of foam in the bottom of the basket so that I can not hurt my back when I'm flying.
Sure.
So I put her in a corner and the heels go right into the foam. And I tell her, you ain't moving. You're staying here for the next hour and a half. And she was so funny. And the guy was, he was a character. He was a character. So we take off and we're flying across this beautiful lake. We take off from the shores of the lake from this private little yacht club they have.
Mm-hmm.
Flying across this lake down there in Leon. And these people come up in boats and they have families in boats. And they come up and they offer their child to go for a balloon ride. And when you come back and you give the child back, they give you a coffee and a burrito.
That kind of sounds like a joke.
So it sounds like a joke, doesn't it? So I take this child. I'm skimming across the water, and the boat's chasing me, and I give them the child back, and I get coffee and a burrito.
That's awesome.
And, you know, these are the kinds of things that my wife and I found out that we absolutely loved being able to share stuff like this.
Yeah.
Stuff like that you memories. Would normally yeah. not see anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
It was just, it's just too much fun everywhere. And that's why Durango, when we started this one here in the fall with the colors.
Yeah.
Oh, buddy, I'm telling you, it is. It's just spectacular. And this particular week, I think we're going to be over the moon with how beautiful it is.
It is. Yeah. I mean, the colors are still there, still popping. And yeah. It's going to be really beautiful.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. Awesome.
So you said several times to me that your wife has saved your life. What? Tell me that story.
Well, that's kind of interesting because when I was first diagnosed with this, my wife did research. Mm-hmm. She did far more research than I ever did.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, when I went to the Mayo Clinic where my doctors are in Phoenix, that's another story. I'll tell you then afterwards. But my wife put together all of this documentation on mastocytosis and what I would have to do if I wanted to survive, because she loved me.
Yeah.
And she wanted me to survive. So
yeah,
I gave up alcohol. I gave up chocolate. I gave up all these things that could set off mastocytosis and make me have an anaphylactic reaction and die.
Yeah.
The average person has about an 8% chance, Kyle, if you eat something, of getting sick, right?
Yeah.
I have a 38% chance.
Yeah, it's not good.
Not good. So my wife had this all figured out. And over the 18 years, she kept me alive when she found out that the average lifespan was 10 years.
Wow. So, I mean, it's supposed to be like you're supposed to only live 10 years after being diagnosed.
That's the average lifespan of a mastocytosis patient.
Okay. Wow.
That's what they told me. Well, I'm on 18 years.
Yeah. And you're still going strong.
Well, in between all of this, I had a heart attack flying my hot air balloon.
Yeah, so let's hear that story, because I've heard it, and it's.
You remember that story?
I have. Yeah. Tell our audience that story. I want to hear that story.
Oh my gosh! The American Heart Association in Albuquerque made me Survivor of the Year for 2014, and I asked them when they made me Survivor of the Year. I asked them, "What's the criteria?" And they said, "Well, people don't survive. We don't make a heart attack, so." You survived. That made you Survivor of the Year.
Oh my gosh. Wow.
So yeah,
tell me that story. You woke up and you were going.
I woke up and it was the first day of the Albuquerque International Balloon Fiesta, 2014, October 3rd. I wake up and I'm feeling good. I'm excited. I'm in the first wave. I'm going to be one of the first 30 balloons off the field out of 500.
Nice. Wow.
I've got a really good friend's, daughter-in-law in the basket.
Okay.
She is the administrative assistant to the governor of Alaska.
Okay.
I've got Rachel in the basket with me. I've got two other young ladies about 26 years old.
Okay.
And they were the daughters of the local national distributing company that was my sponsor.
All right.
So I got three women in a basket, and we're psyched. We're going to get ready to have a wonderful flight. Feeling good. And I take off. And I get up to about 1,500 feet.
Yeah.
And I'm maybe 20 minutes into my flight. And I had chest pains.
Okay.
And I lost the feeling in my left arm. And I'm sitting there going, okay, this is not good. I don't know what's going on. I drink a little bit of water. I lean over the side of the basket. And I'm looking. And I'm over, unfortunately, the largest power plant in Albuquerque on Paseo del Norte.
Oh my gosh.
There's nowhere to land. There's a huge solar field underneath me. And I can't let these young ladies know that anything's going on.
Because they'll freak out, yeah.
They'll freak out. They don't know anything about ballooning. So I call my crew on the radio and said, I need you guys to get close to me. I'm going to go ahead and make an intermediate landing. And I was losing it at that time. I'll be honest with you. I was losing it. And I honestly can tell you, I don't think it was me that landed the balloon. You see this angel on my shoulder?
Yeah, I know. You always wear it. Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that there was an angel guiding my hands on those burners and getting me down to where I got.
Yeah.
Because I was heading for a terrible looking spot to land, but I was going to put the balloon down and safely.
Yeah.
And before I could land there, I got a 90-degree left-hand turn, and something took me to the Calvary Church parking lot.
Wow.
I landed in the Calvary Church parking lot. I broke a tree on the way in. They forgave me. Broke a tree on the way in, set it down in the parking lot, and slid right up next to a cottonwood tree. And I stopped right there. And I had two of the young ladies get out and hold the basket. And the third one, Rachel, I asked her, I said, I need you to call 911. I'm having a heart attack.
Oh, my gosh.
And she looked at me, and I passed out.
Oh, my gosh. Wow.
I passed out, and about that time, apparently my wife comes into the story. If you ever want to see a really good American Heart Association video, just Google my name, Doug Lindbergh. It's the first thing that comes up. Watch the video. It was done professionally by the American Heart Association. I'm a spokesperson for them.
Yeah.
I looked like this, Kyle, when I had a heart attack, man. I didn't have high cholesterol. I had no high blood pressure, nothing.
Yeah, yeah.
And I looked like this when I had a heart attack. And I tell people, I don't care how good you look.
Yep.
Go get yourself checked. Get a baseline. Find out if there is anything
that could be. Yeah, where you're at. Yeah. Okay.
So my wife comes around the corner with the chase crew. She broke every speeding law in Albuquerque. But she comes around the corner at the chase crew, and she sees me slumped over the side of the basket. So she unfortunately thought I was dead at that time.
Oh, my gosh.
But the crew people got me out of the basket, put me on the tailgate of the truck, and one of my daughters had my head in her lap, and then my wife was calling 911 and directing the ambulance to me. And they tried to give me something that would have set off my anaphylactic shock and killed me.
Oh, my gosh.
My wife saved my life by telling them what they could not give me.
Oh, my gosh.
So she gets me in the ambulance. They take me to the only Trauma One Center in UNM, at the UNM Medical Center. They get me to the only Trauma One Center. And they're checking me out. And God bless her, the surgeon that saved me, Dr. Stacy Clegg, wonderful woman. She's in the video. She also sponsors a balloon at the Animas Valley Balloon Rally every year. Now, but Stacy was going to put some stents in my heart. And my wife told her, you better make sure what the coating on the stents are before you try to open up his arteries, because you could give him a shock with the stents coating. So she saved my life again.
Oh, my gosh.
And Dr. Clegg had to
go out. So she knew what you could take and what you couldn't.
And she, so Dr. Clegg went around and found stents in the hospital that didn't have a coating on them, so she didn't have to worry about my anaphylactic shock. So, yeah, my wife was a saint. She kept me alive. She kept me alive for 18 years.
Yeah. It's beautiful.
And then even after the heart attack and everything, she just kept going strong with me.
Yeah, I know. I know you. I know you miss her.
Oh, God, I miss her so badly. But this celebration of life for her this weekend, these pilots all want to celebrate her life, and they want to be there for the dedication of the field. It's going to be Sylvia's airport from now on. So that's
so neat.
That's very special.
Yeah, very special. That is very special. So, so we're so excited for this weekend and just all that's happening. And if there's one thing that you feel like you could give to others, what do you feel like that would be, like, as far as like wisdom?
If I could give anyone a piece of advice, I'm going to tell you, enjoy life the most you can, enjoy your partner the most you can, and trust in God. Don't take everything on yourself. Trust in God and know that all things will happen the way they're supposed to.
Yeah, that's good. It's beautiful. Enjoy life. Enjoy your spouse. And
And it took 2 years to get a certificate of occupancy. They didn't believe it.
All right. All right. So we're back. Sorry for that. But so to recap that last thing, if there's anything, any type of wisdom that you'd want to give to anybody, can you repeat what you said again?
Oh, I'm trying to remember what I said, but enjoy life to the fullest. Enjoy your spouses. Trust in God.
Yeah.
Because you can't control things yourself. Mm. Things are going to happen the way they're going to happen, and just enjoy it. Enjoy life and just know that He's going to make everything right for you.
Yeah, that's good. That's beautiful. I love that. So, so I know we were just talking off the air and we were talking about the home that you live in, because it's pretty unique. Tell me tell me about your house.
My wife, my late wife had always wanted a radiant floor heated home that was fully fire protected. So we found a general contractor in Farmington. No one in Durango, unfortunately, would want to build an affordable net zero home.
Which sounds weird, because I feel like that's definitely a thing here.
I know.
Or people are like wanting to go that direction.
I thought so too. And it was kind of weird, but the only general contractor we could find was in Farmington.
Okay.
And he was so serious. Joe Cosmore. Never forget Joe. Joe Cosmore was so serious. He went with me to Santa Fe, New Mexico to get the approval from the Construction Industries Division to create a home that was so different, because my wife designed it. It's solar thermally heated, solar thermal hot water, reclaims over 60% of its water legally with a plumbing approved product.
Wow. Okay.
It has plumbing based fire suppression systems in it. No insulation in the attic, because we used a product called expanded polystyrene, 1 inch on the roof, and that's all we need to insulate the house.
Dang.
It's the most amazing thing, and the comfort level is crazy.
Was this more expensive or about the same, or did it save you? As it obviously it saved you money in the long run, but
no, it's significantly less money to build.
Really?
That's the funny part. I mean, a lot of people didn't realize that. We went from 12 inches on center with 2x6s to 24 inches on center with 2x4s.
Oh, my God.
Because a lot of the stuff that people need to build, you know, they try to stick insulation into walls, lots of insulation and pack it in. You don't need any of that.
Yeah.
And this is what we proved. And how we proved it was when we were building this, I got a research grant from Sandia National Laboratories in Albuquerque. And Sandia National Laboratories came out and they put thermocouples in the ground, in the concrete, in the walls, in the ceiling. I had hundreds of thermocouples in my house.
Yeah.
And what we were studying was how all of this insulation technology worked. We were studying how much energy we used, what the comfort level in the house was. And since 2009, I have had a research grant from either Sandia National Laboratories or Los Alamos National Laboratories every single year, including 2022.
Wow. Wow.
So we're going on 13 years of having actual data.
That's pretty impressive.
It's amazing. And my wife, the big thing was my late wife, it was comfort for her. Half the time she didn't want to leave the house. It was so nice for her.
Yeah. Yeah. So you feel like, I mean, I know there's a lot of green push now within, you know, the economy and tax benefits and stuff like that. So do you feel like homes like this are going to start popping up everywhere?
I sincerely hope so.
Yeah.
I gave all of my research data for free.
Yeah.
I gave it to the Department of Energy, and four of the research laboratory grants from Sandia and Los Alamos have been published.
Okay. So it's like
Otis website.
It's a real thing.
It's a like real thing. And one company has already started building affordable housing based on the expanded polystyrene insulation technology off of our website, off of the DOE's website.
Yeah.
And it's called Boxable. You ever get a chance, go look at it.
I know exactly what Boxable is. I have bought their stock. I know what they are. So they're really interesting.
That's my technology. That's the expanded polystyrene. They make their walls out of 4 inches expanded polystyrene, the ceiling, the floor.
Yeah.
They're using my entire concept. The house is heated and cooled with a mini split unit, same as mine.
Yeah.
It's
Boxable is like the way of the future. Elon Musk is all over. Like, it's
Boxable.
I mean, you probably know better than me, but I mean, that's
It's kind of cool.
It's very cool.
And you talk about affordability. I was telling some home builders associations who want to help with affordable housing, don't build a 3,000 square foot house for $500,000.
Yeah.
Go buy some land and put some boxable units up at $50,000 a piece.
Exactly.
Come on, guys. You put plumbing-based fire suppression in them. You don't even need fire hydrants.
Wow.
Because now you're covering every square foot so that people have every chance of getting out of there alive.
Wow. Yeah. No, I mean, a simple plug for Boxable. I mean, I think their marketing, they've done great, and just how they, the way of the future. People want to be simple. People want to be able to live anywhere and be able to travel and not have a 3,000 square foot house they have to take care of and maintain and all of that. And Boxable really gives that to people. I mean, it's the same it's similar to like tiny homes and RV living and stuff like that, but it's just, I feel like more efficient and more like a home. It doesn't cost a lot. It's very, very much the future. So yeah, I'm invested in their stock, and I'm on a waiting list to get some of Boxables and stuff like that for some projects I'm looking
at. Well, if I had any money, I'd be putting it into Boxable too. I don't have any money. But, you know.
So that's so interesting that they used your technology and your studies from your CASA.
I'm certain that they found that study, because that insulation technology and getting it approved, that was one of my Los Alamos National Laboratory research studies, was how does the insulation work in my house?
Mm.
Because my house is so unique, it only goes up and down 7 degrees.
Yeah.
I don't care if it's 106 degrees outside. If my house starts out at 72 degrees in the morning, it'll be 79 degrees at night.
Wow.
Whether you're 106 or 116 degrees.
Mm.
If you're 32 degrees outside and my house starts out at 68, it'll be 75 in the afternoon. It doesn't care.
Wow. Wow. Yeah. So that's pretty amazing right there. I mean, I really do feel like you should write at least 3 books, maybe not 5, but at least 3. I love your stories, Doug. I think it's inspiring. I think you're encouraging. I think that just your wisdom that you have to share is a beautiful thing. And so thanks for being on with us today.
Well, thanks for having me. I really appreciate being here.
This is fun. So, one more plug for the Animas Valley Balloon Rally.
Absolutely.
Give us the times, dates, where people need to be. They don't want to miss it. It is going to be so much fun for kids and the family. And so tell us.
Family event. You definitely want to come out every morning about 8 o'clock.
Okay.
1 mile north of Trimble crossing on the east side of the road.
So just past all the right.
Yeah, just pass it. Just you'll see the tent out there. You'll see
all
cars,
the balloons. You'll see balloons.
Yeah. Yeah. Just come on out.
Yeah.
And then don't forget our balloon glows
Friday and Saturday night
here downtown.
Yep, right next to the train station.
Yep, and right here in front of the General Ballpark.
Yep, awesome, awesome. And those are the major sponsors.
And Country Gas,
awesome.
And Dalton Ranch Country Club, because those guys are so nice about letting us land on their property.
Yeah, yeah.
And they love having us out there, and we love being there.
Yep, awesome, awesome. Well, make sure you get out there this weekend. We want to see you out there at the Animas Valley Balloon Rally. Here's the creator of it, Doug Lindbergh, and his beautiful, amazing stories. And this weekend is a celebrate of life for your wife. So
we
want to honor her, and we're excited for all that.
Thanks, Kyle. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, awesome. Well, we hope you've enjoyed the Barefoot Life Show. We're super excited as we continue to grow our content and our exposure and just interview interesting people who have so much wisdom to give. I had a mentor once tell me, go find somebody with fruit on the tree and learn from them and let their ceiling be your floor. And I believe wisdom is more precious than jewels. And this man is full of it, full of wisdom. And so any chance you can get to learn from anybody, that was one of the things you said earlier, is that you were willing to learn at a young age, and that really propelled you into a lot of success. So we just want to encourage you to be open and want to learn. So anyways, be blessed. Have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right.